This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Lynn Walters. She's founder and executive director of Cooking with Kids. And I'd like to welcome also Andrew Cooper. He's a volunteer super chef with Cooking with Kids. He's executive chef at Terra Four Seasons Resort at Rancho Encantado. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. We're delighted.
Yeah, and this is a really, it's a great moment because Cooking with Kids is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Let's talk about this organization and how it began and how it evolved.
Well, it began when I had a small restaurant in Santa Fe, and I was asked by a group of dietitians and school nurses to have a breakfast about school meals. And it's a long story, more than we have time for, but through this amazing evolution and education that I've received, we kind of discovered that really one of the best ways to really look at changing children's eating habits, family eating habits in a positive way, is to have direct experience with food. And we really saw that if you can tell people what they should eat, what you think they should eat, what this other expert thinks they should eat. But one of the missing pieces these days is everyone's, or many people's, direct experience with cooking and exploring food for themselves, learning about taste preference. For example, you might love bitter greens like broccoli rabe, and I might only like salad romaine lettuce, or a child might only like red delicious apples because they're used to that, while their friend might love having a pippin apple even though they've never had that sour taste before in that way. So we discovered that exploring foods really changes, expands children's skills and changes their preferences for fruits and vegetables, increases them.
I find it really fascinating that school nurses were part of the original impetus for this. What were they seeing?
They were concerned about school meals, and they were seeing children being used to basically fast food that even 20 years ago was just exploding in our culture, and it was becoming the norm of what everyone was used to. And then I think a lot of that, and that's still somewhat pervasive, that we as well-meaning adults still think, well, for children, they need to eat what they're used to or what's being marketed to them. And even if you're doing a cooking class, it should have a happy face because children are all about cute. Children are cute, mm-hmm. but children are intelligent. And so I feel like what one of the things we say is that the heart of Cooking with Kids is experience with a wide variety of foods from diverse cultural traditions. But I think we all believe that children's intelligence is what needs to be respected and nurtured. We were talking earlier about cultural heritage. Cooking with Kids works with foods of many cultures. And it's another way to look at how my culture is similar or different from yours, and what are the commonalities. For example, there are flatbreads all over the world. We make tortillas here. In India, there are chapatis, mm-hmm. injera bread, yeah. so many. And so I guess it comes down to this direct experience, and we're missing so much if we're not learning from our grandparents and our parents how to cook. We felt like this was the missing piece. There's a ton of information, but not experience.
And so you actually started a program where kids are cooking in school.
Yes.
Using often local, fresh food, food that's good for you. You basically bypass the whole American junk food marketing colossus and went straight to the food. And then these kids learn to cook, and then what happens? They bring that experience home?
Well, they bring it home, and often many of their parents and grandparents also come and volunteer. We work with about 5,000 students, pre-K through sixth grade, every year, and over 1,400 parents and grandparents volunteer in those classes that are repeated throughout the year. One thing I do want to say, so we're not misleading, we do buy locally grown food whenever possible. And we work with a lot of farmers. And we have farmers who come visit classes too and share their expertise and passion, much as chefs come in and do that. But we also buy wholesale produce. We buy from regular grocery stores. Whole Foods and La Montanita and Smith
right.
donate food. So we're in the food system, but in a way where we're using foods that are as close to their natural state as possible.
Meaning an apple instead of applesauce or apple candies.
Correct.
If you're going to make applesauce, you make it yourself.
Exactly. And we do that.
So, Andrew, how did you get involved?
Well, 3 years ago when I first came here, I was always cooking with my kids in the house, and I said to my wife, you know, I'm an executive chef at the Four Seasons. I want to be able to give back to the community. So I said, you know, I love cooking with kids. I said, let me see if there's any type of organization where I could give back to cooking.
You literally said, I love cooking with kids, and then you found cooking with
kids. Well, what I do is I just went online and wrote Cooking with Kids Santa Fe, and all of a sudden this website popped up. I was like, oh, my God, this is incredible.
I didn't know that's how you
found
us.
That's how I found you. And then what I did was I called up Anna, and I spoke to Anna, and I told her where I live and where I work. And she said, well, we have a couple opportunities for you, either one on Salazar Elementary School on Cerrillos or Tusuke Elementary School by the hotel. So I said, I'm off tomorrow. I said, let me come in to the Salazar school and see what happens. So as soon as I went to the school, they told me that the class was going to be about Indian cuisine. I was like, perfect. So I started looking over the syllabus, and I figured I'd bring in some rolling pins and have some fun making some naan bread. So when I got to the school, the people giving me the tour showed me around the back, and they said, that's our garden in the back. And I'm looking at this giant raised bed. I'm like, what do you mean garden? Like, oh, yeah, we teach our kids how to germinate seeds and plant the seeds and grow the seeds. And I said, okay, but what is all this used for? They said, oh, we use this in the cafeteria. We use this for our classes. Then I started getting a little scared because I'm like, I'm used to having frozen food in the cafeterias. I'm not used to having real food in the cafeteria. So when we finally got into the classroom, they started talking about where India is, where Santa Fe is, the spice market's there, the supermarket's here, the clothes they wear here, and vice versa. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. So while all this lecture was going on, I was in the back of the room prepping. And then all of a sudden, I see all these students line up single file. They put their aprons on. They go wash their hands. And then they're coming to the table, and their hands are clasped together, standing in front of me. I'm like, what's going on here? I thought prayer was taken out of school. And then all of a sudden, you know, one of the little boys comes up to me and says, Chef, you need to wash your hands. And I'm looking at him like, okay. So I get down on my hands and knees, well, my knees, and start washing my hands because the sinks are so low. So I come back to the table and I put my hands together, and I ask the teacher next to me, I'm like, why is everyone clasping their hands together? And he says, that's the way the students don't touch anything else and they're ready to go and don't contaminate anything. So to make a long story short, after we started cooking, you know, I break out the naan bread, the dough is resting, and then I break out some rolling pins so that way the kids can have fun rolling out the bread. And all of a sudden, another boy comes up to me and says, Chef, you're doing it all wrong. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, can you show me? So he takes it, and his tortilla is the same as a naan bread, just a different variation, just like we were talking about the different breads. So what you can learn from a first grader is just absolutely incredible.
It's just amazing that he's telling a, you know, top educated chef who went to chef school how to roll bread, but I mean, was he right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was doing a tortilla, and his version of a naan bread is his tortilla. So, I mean, it's a flatbread. It's the same thing. But what was amazing was from that moment on, I was hooked with cooking with kids because, I mean, it was just the passion, the love. And what I did from that point on was I started bringing my wait staff with me, the bartenders with me, other cooks with me. And the reason why I brought all those people with me is that the bartenders would show them how to make fun fruit drinks, you know, or vegetable juices, and it'd be something fun and exciting. The waitstaff would have little running races with hard-boiled eggs and can't drop anything. And then my cooks, the main reason why I brought my cooks with me is that we do cooking classes at the hotel, but in order for them to teach new adults, you need to be able to break down, you know, instead of using all these high terms, you know, mise en place, brunoise, sauté, you know, bring it down to a first grader level and say, they have no clue what you're talking about. How can you how can you tell them what you're doing without using all this fine terminology? And it breaks them down, builds them back up again, and that way we're able to teach at a higher level, and it makes it fun for everyone.
You know, the story you just told tells implicitly another story, which is how well prepared these kids have been in the past with their Cooking with Kids training.
Well, they do learn.
Everyone learns.
Everyone learns. Yeah. We learn, as Andrew was saying, we learn from first graders. We learn from parents. But the kids really learn what the process is and how to expect it. They have about 10 food experiences throughout the year. Of those, 5 are 2-hour cooking classes. And even though those are spread out about every 4 to 5 weeks, they are so excited to get to do something. And they just learn what the process is going to be when, actually now the school district has built either culinary arts or flex classrooms. And so in all the schools, actually, except Tsuki, where we're teaching, the classroom teacher will bring the students to our classroom space, and the kids come in there and they know what the protocol is, really. And they're so excited.
And what's even more exciting is that, you know, they get to take it home to their parents and then their family, the brothers, the sisters, the grandmas and grand-aunties and everyone else. And they get to share their experience. For example, my kids, you know, after I saw what they do at the different schools, we decided to have some tomato plants and a little garden in our house because I have a huge garden at the hotel, but I wanted something fun and exciting for my kids. So every day before we went to school, they would fight over who gets to water the tomato plants. And, you know, we had little cherry tomatoes, and we never said tomato at the end. We always said cherries, you know. So finally, we got to plant the seeds, watch it grow, and then all of a sudden the fruit develops. And then my kids are like, can I have a cherry? I'm like, absolutely. So they started picking off the cherry tomatoes right off the plant and just eating it. But if you say a tomato or a vegetable or something else, it's a little bit different. But knowing that they get to watch it grow and develop and then share the experience of eating it was a huge experience.
I wanted to ask you both about the question of how taste gets formed. I remember being a junk food eating average American kid who liked to eat candy bars and Pop-Tarts and, you know, Nestle's Quick and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how I'm alive today, really. Because, you know, beans out of cans. I mean, it wasn't, except in the summer when we ate local healthy food, it really was not healthy food. But I loved it. And the other day, I ate a Pop-Tart, and it was disgusting. And it's really not good food. It's not good for you. Little kids, not only are they marketed to, but those foods have in them things that stimulate, like, you know, atavistic.
Sugar, salt.
Exactly. Yeah. Things that hunter-gatherers had in scarce supply and needed, you know, sugar, salt, and fat. So you've got this overabundance of things that were once rare in nature, and kids get confused. Now, when they are confronted with an actually healthy and delicious palette of food in front of them, how do they react? How do they react at first if they were raised on junk food? How do they react after a while?
Well, I had to bribe my kids with Dunkin' Donuts before we went to the farmer's market on the weekend. So, and we went to the farmer's market, and they always had to have munchkins or hot chocolate. But after a while, we started going there and, you know, just listening to the farmers and then give out the apples and the grapes or the fruits that are over there. They would drop the munchkins and all the donuts and stuff like that and go for, you know, the baby carrots or the grapes or the apples. And because it was delicious, it was right in front of them, it was crisp, it had the texture, the color, and then the sweetness, which is better than sugar. So
they stopped needing the donuts.
Yeah.
And what I've observed with my own kids and with Cooking with Kids is allowing them to come to it is really the key. Because if you say, eat it, try it, you know, there's so much control of children. And one of the, for some kids, maybe the only thing they have control over is refusing to eat as a power over adults. And in Cooking with Kids, we've really seen that when you allow kids to come to it, like in a cooking class, with a new class, for example, there might be one or two children who say, I don't think I want to try it. But then when the other kids say, wow, this is really good, rather than the adults pressuring, then the children will try it. And I think the most powerful part is really that the kids made it themselves.
Yeah.
Because right. they are so proud. They're just like, I made this with my friends. And it's, you know, we hear over and over again, it's really good because we made it. And that's a powerful motivation.
Exactly. I mean, when I do Cooking with Kids classes in a hotel, because after I went to school, I started offering it to guests who have little kids that want to do cooking classes. And we get milk crates for them to stand on. And then just watching their eyes and, you know, when they get to actually touch something and then actually transform it, put it in the oven, watch it come out, and then eat it. I mean, it's a great experience to see
that. It's magic. Yeah. It's really magic.
I mean, my boys are 2 and 4, and I took them to the hotel the other day, and we made pasta from scratch. So they got to mix the eggs and the flour together and then all of a sudden put it through the machine and make the actual pasta and then throw it into the boiling water. They couldn't wait to eat it. It was so much fun. So just making cooking fun.
Yeah, and also kids are really stuck at desks doing reading and math, and I don't know if they still have chalk, but chalkboard kind of stuff and all that. And doing something where you're allowed to move and get your hands into it is such a huge...
That's the whole thing. I mean, kids love to get their hands dirty. So to have them put, you know, their hands into flour and sugar or whatever it might be, I mean, they're playing with food. So.
And it's, yeah, and it's real world learning, too, that does connect with math and language arts and social studies. So it's a way to really integrate, you know, life.
Yeah, you're going to remember more about India after having tasted the food than you are by reading a text about India.
Exactly.
So we're talking about Cooking with Kids, and Cooking with Kids is having an event on Thursday, the 12th of November at the Santa Fe School of Cooking to celebrate its 20th anniversary. Congratulations. You've been there the whole time.
Yes. I didn't have gray hair when we started.
Yeah, those kids will turn your hair gray.
Time. Marching through time.
Marching through time, yes. So what's going on Thursday, the 12th?
We're having an incredible dinner with the Super Chefs, which was Anna Ferrier's brainchild, the Super Chef program, before Michelle Obama created Chefs Move to Schools several years before. And so we have a number of Super Chefs cooking, which is just amazing. And Brad and Belinda Karp are donating fantastic wines. Brad has labeled it Burgundian Bliss because it's Burgundy wines from France and then Burgundian style from California. The Santa Fe School of Cooking is hosting the event. We have, I'm just going to name the sponsors that we have, LANB, the Santa Fe Stucco and Roofing, White and Luff Financial, Cheryl Alters Jameson, and Santa Fe Wine and Chili Fiesta. But we have this incredible lineup of chefs. Ahmed Obo, Johnny Vollertson, and Joseph Reed are going to do hors d'oeuvres and soups. And then Martin Rios is going to do a first course with lobster bisque style dish. I'll let Andrew talk about his course. This is the second course.
Well, what's your course?
I'm just going to be doing a pan-roasted duck with a little bit of parsnip puree.
Just
a pan-roasted duck. But it's going to have fun. It's going to have a lot of flavor. It's going to go well. And it's a fun night just to be partnered up with all these amazing chefs of Santa Fe.
And this is decidedly for adults.
It is. And then I have to finish, though, the menu. I'm sorry here. The third course is Juan Bochensky, and it's going to be a fabulous everything about pork kind. We don't know the details but in that way. There also will be vegetarian options if you buy a ticket. We'll be contacting people if they would rather have a vegetarian dish for one course or more. And then dessert and coffee is by Renee Fox from the Loyal Hound and Sancho Suera, and it will be a deconstructed lemon tart and a variation on baklava.
Deconstructed lemon tart.
Yes.
Well, you'll have to go to find out what that means. For more information, people can go to cookingwithkids.org, and they can, I guess, get tickets through organization.
Through the website, yes.
And I look forward to it, and it's just great to have you around all these years, and it's so interesting to me. I mean, it's school, but it's also social change work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're fortunate to be able to do it, and we counted up. We've worked with over 17,000 children, repeatedly throughout the years. That many children have actually gone through years of Cooking with Kids. And
have any of them become chefs?
We have heard some stories. You know, we're trying now to follow up with some of our alumni.
Yeah.
And we have a few short videos of high school students on our website. And we do hear some stories. We haven't heard yet of anyone becoming like a fabulously famous chef. But we know there are lots of students who had Cooking with Kids who go to the culinary arts program at the community college because they were inspired. But more, I think, as you said, it's about social change. It is, it's one child at a time. You know, it's those small efforts that we all can do that are repeated that really can make a difference, I think, in all of our lives. And it's fun.
That's a key thing. It's fun.
It's fun. Lynn Walters is founder and executive director of Cooking with Kids. Andrew Cooper is volunteer super chef with the organization, and he's executive chef at Terra Four Seasons Resort at Rancho Encantado. Once again, cookingwithkids.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to Studio X for their technical support and web design.